This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Yes, hour number three here on this Thursday morning on CBS Sports Radio. It is Taz the Moose as we come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. You've got Mikey B and Pete the Body across the way, other side at the controls. Can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
As we come to you coast to coast, pillar to post, right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius XM Channel 206. That's on Sirius XM and the app as well. Same channel across all three different platforms. Remember to hit us up. Taz and the Moose on Instagram and Twitter as well.
Just one home. 206.
One home. So that's, that's exactly right. 206. That's it. Way to go. And check us out Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And remember to download the pod each and every day. Radio.com, tune in, iTunes. Make sure to give us a rating. We appreciate all the love and the support as the NCAA tournament gets going once again later on tonight. Where you have four big matchups. We're at the Sweet 16, 68 to 64, 40, 64 to 32, 32 to 16. And we'll get half of the field of eight, the Elite Eight, later on this evening. And Johnny Dawkins, the UCF coach, will join us about 20 minutes from now. Look forward to that, Taz. But you and I have a little bit of a challenge because we have round two of our bracket challenge, because round one was just a disaster.
Horrible. And right. I talked a lot of trash in your face, Moose. And,
you did.
And day one, I act like a hotshot bracket expert.
You did.
And then the next day, I just sucked. And the day after that, I was worse. Just everything just it was just horrid.
Horrid.
But we're back. Sweet 16.
But we are back.
We
have
another chance.
Right. We're born again. Right. We're born again. I mean, born anew. So now we have another opportunity to either rise and shine or sink and fail.
Yeah. Well, it's less about opportunities, Moose. And that's what we do here on Taz and Moose. We give people opportunities, including ourselves.
Well, that's exactly right. All right. So we had breakfast. Is there anything on the line this go around?
I don't know. I forgot about that whole deal with the breakfast because funds right now are a little tight in the Taz house. I got things going on and I got some bills. I got people calling now the house. I'm not answering the phone. That's a whole other story.
So,
a lot of stuff going on.
No breakfast on the line.
Well,
nothing.
I don't usually.
This is just personal pride.
Yeah. Well. For this, so are we still? Who's
losing?
Well,
the original one. There's still breakfast on the line. We can't go back on a bet.
Okay. You're right.
I know. Pete's about to win. Pete's about to win.
All right, breakfast on the line still.
Breakfast is on the line for this. Is this just good old fashioned personal pride?
This one here, I don't know. Mike, what do you think? We're going to do it now, the Sweet 16.
How about lunch?
No, I'm not doing
the
lunch.
Elite Eight dinner, Final Four dessert, then the final whatever's after dessert
we'll
for you guys.
Just do it because we stink.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know what to say.
All right. Well, let's go through some of these matchups tonight, and then we can figure out exactly whether or not we're going to put something on the line.
A day with me. The loser.
I don't want to make any picks.
The loser gets a day with me.
I don't want to make any picks. I'll pass. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the offer, though. Thank you for the idea of showering with you. Anyway,
that was a drop.
Let's head to the South region. Let's begin there, Taz. And let's start with the early game. Loyola Chicago taking on Nevada in the South region later on this evening. Interesting matchup. We had Sister Jean on earlier in the week. She was absolutely fantastic. Nevada are the comeback kids. Musselman come back and knock off Texas in overtime. Come back from 22 down with 10 minutes to go to knock off the Bearcats of Cincinnati, the 2 seed in that South region. And now they take on Loyola Chicago, who have been basically Cinderella's darling in this NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I got to go with the Wolfpack, my friend. I think Nevada... I like the energy, the speed they bring. I think Loyola, the Cinderella Jones, is coming to a rapid halt as they face this number 7 Nevada squad. Loyola, Chicago, thanks for coming. And I believe Sister Jean basically almost deemed her own squad was going to lose.
Right. She does not have them. She had them making the Sweet 16, but then not winning the next round, getting to the Elite Eight. I agree with you. I'm going to go with Nevada. Just a lot of momentum to come back on Texas the way that they did late. But then, I mean, the choke job by Cincinnati. But to go on a 16-0 run, what was it, 32-8, I believe it was, at one point in time for Nevada against the Bearcats. And that is a good Cincinnati team for Mick Cronin. I'm going to take Nevada a little bit of time to kind of settle themselves, right the ship. Loyola Chicago had the game winner against Miami at the buzzer, nearly at the buzzer, to win their opening round game, and then beat Tennessee in the round of 32 matchup. I think their run comes to an end. I agree with you. Give me Nevada knocking off Loyola Chicago to march on to the Elite Eight. All right, Kansas State-Kentucky is your other matchup. That's the 9:37 tip out there in the South region.
Yeah,
down in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, we're going. Sorry, I was a little sidebarred because I got people contact me. I'm working. I'm multitasking. We're going Kansas or Kansas State? Where are we going?
Kansas State, Kentucky.
Okay, we're going Kansas State. Oh, my bad. Mike, you gave me the wrong bracket.
In the South region.
Gave me the wrong paper. Okay, here we go. So we got Kentucky and Kansas State. Moose.
Yeah.
I'm going Kentucky.
I'm with you.
I'm going Kentucky. Cal has this young squad chomping at the bit. He told them, don't drink the dangerous Kool-Aid or something like that.
Don't drink the poison.
Yeah, don't drink the poison. Don't believe the hype. Yeah, all that stuff. Right? He did say that. I think Kansas State goes down hard to a number 5 Kentucky team. Cal's got these kids believing themselves. They're young. They're hungry. They're Kentucky.
All right. Kentucky, I agree with you. I think they're the better basketball team. They won the SEC championship. The bracket is completely blown apart. They're better than Kansas State. I'm going to take Kentucky to march on to the Elite Eight. All right, Kentucky, Nevada to go to the Final Four.
Oh, right? We're going this deep now?
Yeah, are we going to pick the entire bracket?
That puts a whole different paint job on it. I didn't realize that.
Kentucky and Nevada go to the Final Four. I'm taking the Wildcats. I think Kentucky is going to make it down to San Antonio.
I'm with you. I got to go with you on this.
So we're both have Kentucky coming out of the South region now. All right, let's head west. The other region in action tonight.
Are we picking like the whole thing, the championship game, everything?
Yeah, we're going to go to the Final Four. This is the
I'm a knucklehead.
This is bracket round 2.
It was your idea, Taz.
No, I need a pen, Mike. You got a pen?
I don't have one.
Hold on a second. Give me a second, folks. Hang on. Sorry about that. I'll just get my. Sorry, I could put a little bump in the road, a little pothole in the show.
Well, we both have Kentucky making it to the Final Four now. All right, now let's go out west, Los Angeles, California. First matchup of the evening, and that is Texas A&M Michigan, 7:37 Eastern Time tip tonight. I'm going to go with the Wolverines.
I'm with you. Man, we're picking like the same stuff. I'm with you. I think that this number 3 Michigan squad, the Wolverines, they are believing in themselves right now. They got a plethora of momentum. They've been rocking and rolling, taking out a 1-point victory over a talented Houston squad, which is a great win, right? That really
miraculous.
Exactly. That
game winning 3 at the buzzer.
Yeah. It's just huge, right?
Huge.
How do you come down from that? Well, sometimes a couple days off could bring you down.
True.
So, but I think they're going to win too. I agree with you.
All right, I'm going to take Michigan. Give me Beilein's team against A&M. Concerned about the size A&M, certainly Hogan's ability to shoot it from the outside, and they absolutely dismantled North Carolina. I think it's a toss of the coin type of game. I would not be surprised if Texas A&M won, but I'm going to take the Wolverines to march on to the round, to the Elite Eight. All right, Gonzaga, Florida State, 10:07 Eastern Time tip out there in Los Angeles in the Western Regional. I'm going to take Mark Few and Gonzaga to march on to the regional final. A little bit too much size. We're in agreement, I would imagine,
yeah, we
Taz.
Are. Yeah,
you're
going
to take Gonzaga as well.
I'm with you on that. I am. Great minds think alike, as they say, and that's why we're both at this thing like we are. I'm taking the Zags, too. I do. I think they're going to be a little just too much for the Seminoles.
All right, and, Gonzaga, Michigan to go to the Final Four.
Right, you're going right in. Look at you. So, no, I got Zags, Gonzaga.
I will disagree here. I'm going to take the Wolverines.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Wolverines to get to the Final Four in San Antonio.
Okay.
All right.
Hold on. The South, we had Nevada, Kentucky. Who did you take?
I took Kentucky. We're in agreement.
Oh, we did. I just want to make sure I'm taking my copious notes.
We have Nevada, Kentucky. We're both in agreement. We both have Kentucky marching on to San Antonio.
All right, Moose, don't be snobby.
Snobby. All right, let's head to the East Regional. All right? Tomorrow night, Beantown. Let's start with the early game. Villanova, West Virginia. You look at two teams that have been the most impressive in this tournament so far. It's been Villanova and Duke. I'm going to take the Villanova Wildcats as long as they don't become too reliant on the outside shot. Remember, they got to drive it, dish it time for Jay Wright. I'm going to take Villanova to knock off West Virginia to march on to the Elite Eight. Who do you like, Tess?
I'm with you, dude. I'm taking Nova too, Moose. Listen, they're as advertised, right? Everybody's been, and you pointed out a couple of days back here on the Taz and the Moose show, how that East bracket is a legit bracket. And Nova, I mean, look, they had they kicked this thing off and they smoked Radford. Then they go and they play Bama and they smoked Bama. Okay, it's in the cards right now for Villanova. I got them advancing for sure over West Virginia.
All right, Texas Tech, Purdue, the late game in the East.
I'm going with the Red Raiders on this. I'm going Red Raider Jones on this. They are. I love them. I love the speed they play. I think that the victory over Florida was impressive. What did they do? 69-66. Yeah. So I don't know. I like Texas Tech in this thing. I love they play hard nosed ball. I'm going with them. Are you agreeing with me?
I'm going to take Purdue. I'm going to take the Boilermakers. I think it could go either way.
Injury. Who's the kid with an injury for Purdue? I don't remember his name either. I'm drawing a blank.
Slipping my mind.
Yeah.
But Purdue, Texas Tech, I'm going to take the Boilermakers. I think they were one of the best teams all year long. 2 seed in this region. I could see Texas Tech winning. I'm not going to deny that. But I'm going to set up Villanova-Purdue regional final in the East. I'm going to have Villanova going to the final.
That's right. Even with Isaac Haas being out, you're good.
Okay. I'm still going to take Purdue.
Yeah, I think you're wrong. Okay. So we're moving now. I got to pick a winner. Pressure's on.
Right. I went Villanova over Purdue.
When we're going now, let's follow along.
Okay. Oh, you went Villanova. Did you go Villanova Final Four?
Well, the buildup is the end. Give it yet.
I'm sure. Sorry. I was asking that. You got it. All right, here's the build up. Villanova, Texas Tech. Who do you got?
Villanova.
All right. There you go. All right. Nice. Well done. All right, let's head to the Midwest region in Omaha, Nebraska. Let's start with the early game tomorrow night, and that's Kansas and Clemson. Get a little concerned about Kansas and their three guards. Sure, certainly. Go ahead.
Thanks, Bruce. I'm going to shock you, bro. I'm going Clemson.
Wow. You're taking Clemson.
Oh, yeah. Mikey B, I'm taking Clemson. What do you think, bro?
I like it.
You like it? It's happening.
I'm going to like whatever you say.
This is going to be happening. Clemson's going to win this game. I just feel like, they beat the dog snot out of Auburn.
They did.
Clemson. Okay, I understand that Auburn is not Kansas. I get it. And Kansas, they destroyed Seton Hall. But, not destroyed. They beat him pretty handily. I just feel like Clemson, I just think they can advance here.
All right, you like Clemson.
I do.
I think Kansas is vulnerable. I do. I do think they survive and make it to the regional final, though. I think Clemson's got a shot to beat them. I don't think there's a lot that separates the two teams. I think Clemson has handled their business impressively. 11-point win over New Mexico State. And then, as you just mentioned, Taz throttled Auburn in the round of 32 matchup. However, I think they fall a little short against Kansas. I have the Jayhawks marching on to the regional final. All right, late game on Friday night, Syracuse-Duke.
You go first. This is your alma mater.
I'm going to take Duke.
You're going against your orange? Really?
I have Duke going to the Final Four.
Yeah, I'm with you on Duke. I think Duke's going to win. I thought you're going to. If you see, for me personally, for the human suplex machine, Taz, right?
Yeah.
Former three-time world champion. That's debatable. Definitely two times. That's up in the air. But the thing is, if you said the orange is going to win, then I would be invested more in this game, me personally.
I just have a hard time seeing it. I had a hard time seeing them beating Michigan
State. How about the zone defense?
It's great. But I do think there's something to be said that if you have a time to prepare for it, I think Duke will be I think Duke will be aware of what they need to do to be successful.
No,
plus, they've been playing the 2-3 zone, too. So I know there's different variations of
it. Yeah.
But give me Duke to knock off Syracuse to face a Duke 1-2 matchup, Kansas-Duke in the regional final.
Yeah. So now it's I'm taking Duke also, as I said. Now it's knuckle-up time. We got Clemson
now,
and Duke.
Clemson and Duke. I got Duke.
Man. Yeah, Clemson's not going to beat Kansas, then beat Duke. That's not happening.
It may.
You're not taking on two blue bloods like that, my friend.
You never know. You're going to go Clemson?
I'm going to shock the world.
You're going to take Clemson?
I'm going to take Duke. Okay. All right, so I'm not
saying. All right, so
it's
here,
build up and I bring it down. That's cold. That's how you work people.
All right, here's our matchups now. All right, in the two national semifinals, I have Kentucky, Michigan, Villanova, Duke, and you have Kentucky, Gonzaga, Villanova, Duke.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
All right, Kentucky, Gonzaga. Who do you got?
Man. I'm going to stick with Cal. I'm going to go with Kentucky. I think Calipari is going to have. I'm going Kentucky. I'm going with the youngins.
Kentucky, Michigan. I'm going to take Kentucky. I'm with you.
All right. Kentucky
now,
Zags.
Well, I have Kentucky, Michigan. So I'm going to take Kentucky as well.
I apologize. My mistake.
All right. Villanova, Duke.
Oh, Nelly. This could be the Natty Championship right here.
It could be. I think this will decide who wins the national championship. I think whoever wins this game wins the national championship.
Grayson Allen will dominate in this game, and I'm taking the Blue Devils.
I'm going to take Duke, too.
Wow.
I'm going to take the Blue Devils as well.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then Duke, Michigan for me. Kentucky for me. Duke, Kentucky for you. I'm taking Duke.
I'm taking Duke, too. How about that?
All right.
That just kind of sucks, but I got to be honest. I think
so
they're going to win the game.
So we're all Duke fans now.
But here's the problem. Right now, not the problem. The funny thing is, Pete the Body, the esteemed board op of the show, the board operator, inside term is board op, stands for operations. Okay, I guess the music just stopped. He's
nice.
Got it!
There you
exclamation
go.
Point Jones. He is looking at you and I like, look at these two sorry
sacks. I know, we have to pick it again.
Yeah, no, they got to pick again. And he's like, yo, I'm winning this thing. I'm winning this whole thing. And he don't even get to pick, right?
I'm waiting for my home fries to go with my Beck. So I just sit back, relax, watch the Sweet 16, and I'm good to go.
You know that this meal will come from the little cart down the block with that little guy from Honduras.
Great
that runs
brand.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, that's where it's coming from. It's a great brand, the little Honduras
it is.
Guy in the corner.
Fantastic food, fresh. 855-212-4CBS, and before we go to break, we mentioned it going into the top of the hour, and that is that Rhode Island coach Danny Hurley, according to John Rothstein, who has been on our show a number of times, Danny Hurley is going to be the next head coach of UConn. So he's moved from, I believe it was Wagner to Rhode Island, went from high school to Wagner to Rhode Island. Now he's leaving Rhode Island after their tournament victory this year to head to UConn to take over for the since-fired Kevin Ollie.
Big deal. 6-year deal, man. It's very impressive. Look, he's the real deal. It's in his blood, man. It's in his blood. Real deal.
Dad was an all-time great high school coach. Brother Bobby, obviously great player at Duke, now the Arizona State coach, and he's going to be coaching UConn now for Danny Hurley. We're going to talk to Johnny Dawkins, Taz. Central Florida men's basketball coach is going to join us next and break down. We gave you our thoughts on the Sweet 16, and we just went through the bracket again for a second time, right?
Yeah.
Got to try it again. Johnny Dawkins will get his thoughts on all Sweet 16 matchups. We'll do that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Rolling right along here on this Thursday morning, 855-212-4CBS. Johnny Dawkins, Central Florida men's basketball coach, will join Taz and myself here momentarily. AB is in the house. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, Mark. How are you? Hey, Mark. It's Andrew.
Don't call me Mark.
I'll watch that. Sorry.
I just fell off my chair. I apologize.
It's good to have the handles on the side.
Yeah, mine's broken.
least your mic works. Your report's brought to you by Werner Ladder. Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness and the official ladder of professional contractors everywhere. Werner, number one in ladders. It was impressive for his team and for himself, from down 15 to a 132-129 home win over the Raptors with 35 points and 17 assists from LeBron, but it was not a statement win.
It's a good win for us because how depleted we are with our roster and everything that's been going on. It's a good win for us versus a very good opponent, but I don't need to remind anybody what my teams are capable of doing, so that wasn't a factor.
LeBron and company were down five rotational players and no head coach Ty Lue. The Hornets, with their own come-from-behind win, down 23 in the third in Brooklyn. They beat the Nets 111-105. Now, apparently, NBA players use their cell phones at halftime because Dwight Howard says a message at intermission got him going.
Just thought that my energy and effort wasn't where it needed to be for our team to be successful. And got a text at halftime from somebody. Kind of got me motivated, gave me some extra energy.
Howard finished with 32 points and 30 rebounds, the eighth player with a 30-30 contest, the first since Kevin Love in 2010.
You know who texted him, right? Did he tell? No, it wasn't me. It was actually Pete the Body.
Oh, nice.
That's the rumor, I'm just saying. Right?
Just a rumor.
Got to have video just to have a camera on Pete.
Yeah, just a Pete cam.
Yes. Just a Pete cam.
Yes.
And then a camera for Pete and Dwight Howard hanging out.
Yeah, hanging out together.
Rolling through Charlotte.
Yes. Pete.
The night scene.
Pete's bringing Dwight Howard onto Strong Island. Bringing him to like some good diner and stuff like
Levittown.
On Hempstead Turnpike. Yeah. This is Levittown.
Newbridge Road.
The Wizards losing in San Antonio 98-90. The Pacers fell in New Orleans 96-92. The Heat beat the Knicks 119-98. And on Serbian Heritage Night in Chicago, Nikola Jokic of the Nuggets had 21 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. His team led by as many as 46 before winning 135-102. Dan Hurley is reportedly telling his Rhode Island players right now that he's leaving for UConn. He'll replace the fired Kevin Ollie. Hurley is said to be getting a 6-year deal after two straight NCAA tournament appearances. Guys?
All right. Thank you, AP. Let's hit the guest line right now. Let's welcome aboard Johnny Dawkins, Central Florida men's basketball coach, joins us now. Hey, Coach, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Hey, no problem.
First and foremost, when you look at interesting – what do you make of this tournament, Johnny? Do you look at this as being a sign of things to come in terms of the parity across college basketball?
You know, I do. You know, I think, you know, you've been seeing it coming for the last, you know, several years, and this year has been amazing. You just see that there is a lot of parity in basketball, and anyone truly is capable of beating anyone on their night. And I think it's great for our game.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Coach. Hey, speaking about on any night, I mean, you can also gain momentum, right, with a victory. And how big of a deal do you think going into the Sweet 16 momentum can be for a team?
I think it's hugely important. The fact that you go in playing well, your players have confidence, so you walk in that situation, knowing that you can win. And you won two games to get to the Sweet 16. So you got momentum, you know, with you. You got, you know, your players, you know, are all bought in, or you wouldn't be in that situation. So absolutely, yeah, playing well down the stretch of the season, playing well early in the tournament, all bodes well for those teams moving forward.
All right, let's look at some of these matchups. Let's start with the program that you know very well, and obviously, and that is Duke. What about this Duke-Syracuse matchup tomorrow night late in that Midwest region? How much does it help Duke that, number one, Coach K is playing zone this year? Number two, that they have some time to prepare for the Syracuse 2-3 zone?
Well, I think it was hugely important. You look at the makeup of his team. He has a great zone team, and Coach is the best at just making whatever adjustments necessary for his team to have a chance to succeed. And he's done that again this year by playing, you know, majority zone down the stretch of the season. I think the week of preparation is good. I mean, you need time because you're going to play it for 40 minutes typically. It's not something where most teams jump in and out of the zone. So, you know, you're going to play it a few possessions, but then you're going to be back playing your man, you know, you're against man defense. You know you're going to be in pretty much 40 minutes. So with that, I think it's good to have a week of preparation where you're in practice and you're actually going through those situations where you guys learn to be patient, poised, and execute, you know, every time down because the zone doesn't press you. It just, you know, it just keeps you in front. So it's a good time to come down and execute well.
So, Coach, let's stay in the Midwest here, right? So we got Kansas, at the 1 and Clemson 5. I think this could be an upset here. Me personally, I think Clemson's going to take out Kansas. I might be the only one that thinks that, but give us a breakdown on this Kansas Clemson matchup.
Well, I think it's going to be a heck of a basketball game. I think Coach Brunell does a great job. He's one of the most underrated coaches in the country, and I think people are seeing now why. He's done a great job advancing his team, and they've had a really good run in the ACC. With regard to Kansas, you can never just count Kansas out. What Coach Self has done there over the years is truly, remarkable. And I don't think that, you can ever discount them in any situation because of how well he's done over his career with the players he's had. So I think it's going to be a great basketball game. To me, that's a total toss-up type of game.
Gotcha.
Because both teams, I think, are well-coached and will be extremely well-prepared.
Let's stay on the right side of the bracket, Coach, and let's tomorrow night up in Boston, let's start with the early matchup. How about Villanova, West Virginia? We know what kind of system Bob Huggins likes to run. We know how consistent Jay Wright's Villanova program has been and how good this team has been this year. Number one seed in that East region. How about, what are you looking for in the Villanova-West Virginia matchup?
Well, I'm just looking to see, if West Virginia can dictate, defensively like they do against most other teams. And I'm an example of that. That was the toughest team I faced all season. What they were able to do early in the year when we played them made me a believer in how they defend and just how tough their players are on every possession. It's going to be, if Villanova can, have that poise that they've had all season long and the last several seasons, to be quite frank, their poise, their maturity that they've had, because they're going to have to value possessions against West Virginia. You're going to have to take care of the basketball. Bruss is going to be huge in this type of game because, Carter's probably going to be matched up on him, who's a tough, tough competitor. And really it's going to be whoever can impose their will on who in this game. Can Jay Wright and his system that's been amazing over the last probably 5 or 6 years especially impose their will on West Virginia and dictate their terms? Or will West Virginia be able to come out like they always do and try to just really knock you back on your heels and start dictating you right from the opening tip?
Hey, Coach, so we stay in the East, right? Texas Tech, Purdue. Purdue's got that injury. Big kid Isaac Haas. I think this could hurt Purdue. Who do you think advances here in this deal with Tech and Purdue?
I do think Purdue gets hurt with Haas being out. He's their go-to guy in the low post. He steadies what they do. They are an inside-out team. And I think even relying on, some young, talented freshmen, I don't know at this stage of the game going into the Sweet 16, that's tough. Texas Tech has played in a tough, tough conference all season long. They're really well prepared. Coach has done a great job there also. And so I think Texas Tech in that game right there, based on the injuries that Purdue had, probably has somewhat of an advantage. Now, that being said, when it's a one-and-done situation, guys get hot, guys come out of nowhere and have their magical nights. That's why they call it March Madness. So anything can happen. But Texas Tech, based on the fact that they seem to be a little more healthy, probably the team that probably with a little bit of an advantage going into this game.
All right, let's run through the matchups tonight, Coach. And we're being joined here by Central Florida men's basketball coach Johnny Dawkins. Taz and the Moose with you on a big Thursday morning program. NCAA tournament gets going, back in action tonight. Let's start in the South region, Coach. And Loyola Chicago, they've been Cinderella's darling so far. The near buzzer beater against Miami beats Tennessee coming out of the SEC. They've been fantastic, Sister Jean. Now they take on the comeback kids in Nevada, the Wolfpack for Musselman. What about this Nevada-Loyola-Chicago matchup, the early game out in the South region?
Now, I've seen both of those teams play on a number of occasions, and that's going to be a great basketball game. Seeing Nevada, make that run. I was in the same conference with Cincinnati. Seeing them make that run down 22 and come back said everything you could know about Nevada. They believe, and they're playing with a lot of confidence, and what a tough team. And, of course, Loyola Chicago as well. We haven't seen them. Probably the most fun offense to watch, of all the teams in the tournament. I think they do a great job of making connecting plays. They make each other better. A lot of assists on, per shot attempt. And that's fun to see. So it's going to be a great game. It's hard to call which team you think will advance out of that situation because both have had some magical moments thus far. And I'm sure both of them, are figuring they still have a little magic left in their tank. So it should be a great game. If you had to call it, you know, probably Loyola Chicago, just showed, I think, on both sides of the basketball that they can get it done. But I think it's going to be a great game either way.
Coach, then we stay in the South. We got Kansas State locking horns with Kentucky. Coach Cal's got that young squad of Kentucky believing, and they're buying in. Can they push past Kansas State?
You know, it's going to be a great game again. I mean, you're talking about youth versus K-State with Bruce Weber, who's done a great job with his team over the last couple of years. You know, those guys are prepared. They're battle-tested. And, again, they played in a conference where they face, you know, unbelievable competition every single night. So, you know, looking at a Kentucky team, you know, with a lot of freshmen that are really talented, I think won't knock them back. I think they'll come in with the sense that they can be very competitive against that team. It's going to be if Kentucky's young players can continue to, you know, gain momentum like they have during this tournament. I think they've gotten better at the end of the season and better in the tournament. If they can still, you know, feed off that momentum, I think talent does win eventually. But they're going to have to really be more mature going into the second round. I think I read something, you know, yesterday where he said he wanted to guard against his players, listening to the noise. And that is important for young guys because, you know, a lot of people are expecting them just to win that game. And coming from the Big 12 and playing the schedule that Coach Weber's played, you know, they face teams like Kentucky already this year, so they'll be prepared. So definitely Kentucky's going to have to come out with a focus and a maturity that they expect to advance.
All right, let's jump out to the West region. Really looking forward to this matchup, the early game later on tonight, 7:37 p.m. Eastern time, Coach. And that is Texas A&M and Michigan. After what the Aggies did to North Carolina in the round of 32, Michigan, the Big Ten champs in their postseason tournament, the buzzer beater against Houston, should be a really good matchup. The size of A&M, the overall skill set of the Wolverines, what gives tonight?
You know, I think when, you know, you're talking about size versus skill, I often lean towards skill. I think guys that are the most skillful players, usually over a 40-minute period in basketball, usually comes out on top. I was very impressed watching Texas A&M, you know, play Carolina. And Carolina, you know, usually has a strong front line and a little smaller this year. But Texas A&M just did an amazing job of just you know, dictating their terms versus them pretty much the entire game. And that's rare to see. And then I had a chance to watch Michigan, of course, hit that amazing buzzer beater shot. And what I saw there is what you said, just a lot of skill, a lot of guys that can make shots, a lot of guys. And that goes from, you know, their one all the way to their five. And that's rare. You know, five can step out, knock down threes. That just poses problems for guys that are traditional teams in this day and age. So I think, you know, when it comes down to that, you have to watch out for Michigan, you know, advancing.
So, Coach, we lock it up here. We finish it up in the West where Florida State goes against Xavier. You know, I'm sorry, my bad. I apologize. Gonzaga goes against Florida State. I was looking at Xavier saying that Florida State defeated one seed Xavier in impressive fashion, 75-70. Now, can Florida State get it done against his Zags?
Well, I tell you what, yeah, Leonard Hamilton's, you know, he's amazing at what he's done over the years. You look at his track record, and he has a type of team that I think is capable of going really far. And I think that, you know, it's evident watching what they did to Xavier. And I say that because, you know, last year was more of a heartbreak year for them. And a number of those players that are returning are now in that situation where, of course, they don't want to revisit that again. They knew they had a shot at, you know, going deep last year. They didn't go as far as they probably would have liked. So, you know, this year there's going to be a level of focus with that team. And I think you see it because, and I thought Xavier, you know, throughout the season definitely was deserving of a number one seed and one of the best teams in the country, you know, consistently all season long. And so them to get past that game, you know, says that they are, you know, they're ready to keep on playing. They're still hungry. And I think you have to look at them as a team that could advance in that game.
Coach, two more before we let you go. How about where this Central Florida program is? You stepped on that campus. You said you're going to turn that program around. Are you happy where the program is here in a couple years in?
Yeah, I think we're tracking in the right direction. I mean, you know, we're looking at, you know, 40-plus wins in 2 years, so we have an average over 20 wins a season. And, you know, we've been, you know, 500 or better in our conference the last 2 years. And we've accomplished some things that have never been done here at UCF, you know, as of yet. So really proud of our guys for, you know, buying into what we want to have done and trying to create a new culture here. But I think we are on track. I'm excited about my team. I'm excited about our future. And looking forward to watching these games this year. We'll learn a lot from this, and then helping our guys move forward next season.
And final one for you, Coach. News that just came down a little bit less than an hour ago, and that is that that Danny Hurley is going to be joining UConn and going to be there the next men's basketball coach. What's your thoughts on Danny Hurley now running that UConn program?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Danny. I've watched Danny, over the years as a player and as a coach, and he's done an amazing job in both capacities. So I'm excited for his opportunity. He's an East Coast guy. I think it could be a great fit for him there with regards to what I can tell from the area he grew up and how close he is to UConn. So I know he's got to be excited, for this new opportunity. And I think, only continues to help, college basketball to see a young man have that type of success and get an amazing opportunity like the one he has at UConn.
Hey, Coach, we wish you continued success at Central Florida, and we appreciate your time this morning.
Okay, Taz. Okay, Moose. You guys take care.
All right,
you
Coach. Got it. Thank you.
You got it. That's Johnny Dawkins, legendary player at Duke. Was a first-round pick of the San Antonio Spurs, dating back to the mid-'80s. Former coach at Stanford, now at Central Florida. Gave you a good feel of who he liked next two nights in the Sweet 16, Taz.
I might have to change my bracket a little
there
bit.
There you go.
Talking to
Make
coach.
A little bit of an adjustment, right? We got some leftovers coming your way next. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Taz and the Moose with you. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance to get it all right now at geico.com. It'll be a fun night tonight as the NCAA tournament gets going back once again with four big matchups as we start to work our way down to what should be a fantastic weekend of college basketball, as well as you have the regional finals on Saturday and Sunday. With that being said, let's get to some leftovers, shall we?
It's time now to dig into some leftovers with Taz and the Moose. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
You just heard Andrew Bogish talk about Dwight Howard, his 32 points, 30 rebounds.
32 and 30. Good night.
Is Dwight Howard a Hall of Famer?
I don't look at Dwight Howard as a Hall of Famer.
I don't either.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't look at him as a...
His shoulders are big enough to hold the Hall of Fame on.
Yeah, his shoulders are
huge.
I look at him as unfulfilled potential. I thought at one point in time, Taz, I believe what Stan Van Gundy said, that he was arguably top three player in the league, and he's a little kind of goofy. He's he doesn't take everything seriously.
If you told him that's his face, you have to stand on one of those Werner ladders.
Listen, I don't know if
a little plug Jones.
But that's exactly right. Werner ladder.
Take two. Werner ladder.
But listen, he's an unbelievable talent. I just don't know if he's reached his full potential as a player.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we both, I think you mentioned anyone as far as an HOF. If you have to pause for a second.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. The guy's a great player, and he had a great night, no doubt. Dropping 32 points, is that?
32 and 30.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. He had one assist. She had a rock, son. She had a rock! Next!
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh! I didn't play him in Daily Fantasy. It's driving me nuts.
No one cares, Mike. What's next? Come on. Enough about you. It's not about you, Moose, Mike. Wow. It's about me and Moose.
Daily
it's about me and Moose!
Sorry. That was a moment. It's been a rough spring training for Shohei Ohtani and the Angels. Should he start the season in the minor leagues?
Yes, I'll answer. Yes,
he's been terrible.
Oh God, awful! I mean, remember the hype? Just it seems like yesterday, everybody's going crazy. Ohtani's going to the Angels. Oh my God! I told you, Moose. I saw his first AB,
and you weren't that impressed.
That's that bad. I saw his first AB. I was not that impressed. He got lucky on potentially striking out looking on a pitch that I thought was a strike, but the ump didn't call it. I don't know. I don't want to judge the man on one at bat, but I got to tell you, I just wasn't that impressed.
I'll say this, Taz, if he's not ready, if the Angels feel like he is not ready, he's not showing himself to be ready, you can't have him start with a major league team. You just can't. And he has not impressed at all. I know it's spring. We all know it's spring training. And guys could have historic springs and then do nothing in the regular season. But I would not be surprised if he started the year down at AAA.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Wow, that would be such a – that would be kind of like a sad trombone Jones.
It really would be, especially with what the expectations were supposed to be in terms of how much time he was going to play in the outfield, how many at-bats he was going to get, being a two-way star. I mean, it's just not going to – I've not seen it.
Yeah, two-way star. He can't even be a one-way star. Next!
The 49ers, Chargers, and Cardinals want a proposal passed where when they are on the East Coast, they don't have to play as many 1 o'clock games. Basically,
stop the pain.
Go ahead.
Come on, please.
Stop complaining.
Next!
Stop complaining.
Next!
Oh! You can't be complaining. If you're going from west to east, you can't be complaining. I know it. I know it.
They got private jets, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Right. They're not. It's not like every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there where they're going through everything we all go through in order to travel.
It's funny you mentioned Tom, Dick, and Harry. For those that don't know, that's our social media team. Tom, Dick, and Harry. All right. Next.
Are you surprised
Ndamukong
Suh called off his visit with the Raiders?
I am a little surprised.
I was surprised.
I thought he'd be a great fit there. Yeah, with Gruden, the Raiders would be a perfect fit, right? A guy that doesn't pay attention to the rules, you go out to Oakland. Doesn't care about rules. He'll step on guys when they're on the ground.
He doesn't pay attention to rules. You are correct. I thought he'd be a perfect fit for the Raiders, too.
Those are the rules!
Yes.
Now a lot of people believe he's going to end up with the Rams.
The Rams
with Sue, Talib, Peters, that defense.
Real deal,
McVay
man.
McVay in that offense, that is real deal.
Rams are gonna be no
joke. You
got
to be smiling ear to ear if you are Phillips, the defensive coordinator.
It's my newest team, the Rams, my newest NFC team. What do you got next? What do you got next?
Right. Not only did the Legion of Doom come to an end, but Taz's fandom of the Seattle Seahawks came to an end.
Seattle's got a football team? Right. I've never even heard of them.
They're the alliance of Seattle football.
Mike just told me my ear, Seahawks. Yeah, they're going to,
I was here to help you.
Right.
The Seahawks are going to the AAF.
You're right. Maybe they could be like soccer now, to where if you're not good enough in the NFL, you drop them back to the AAF or the XFL, right?
Oh, Lordy B, Lordy B. Right. All right, what's next?
And the final one from me here. People complained about CBS showing crying fans when their team lost in the NCAA tournament.
Do we not live in a soft enough world as it is? I mean, are we not Snowflake Jones? I mean, can we toughen the F up already?
Emotion's a good thing.
Show it.
What are you supposed to... How about the fame that... Remember the Villanova band member when they were losing a couple years ago and they showed her in the stands in the band and she was crying as she was playing like the flute or something like that. I think a couple nights later she was on like Letterman, some Tonight Show or something
like
that.
Rover. That's what happens.
Right.
You get the push.
I mean, honestly. Right. I felt bad for like the 11-year-old that looked like he was throwing up in his seat, the Bearcat band, but that comes along with losing.
No, when kids cry, I don't feel bad either. I'll tell you what. That's part of growing up. I cried my whole life growing up. Okay, that's toughened you up. It builds character. We need character among these youngins.
Right.
Cry when your team loses.
Right.
Suck it up. And when you win, brag. Be a sore winner. Be brash.
There
next.
You go. There is.
There is no next.
Oh. Will you stop?
All right, my bad.
That's it.
Sorry. So, yes, continue to show the people crying in the stands as their team falls in the NCAA tournament.
I got to do another show now.
So you're going to do it.
I'm going to do the Taz show.
There you go.
25,000 inches of snow, and I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it. Good job.
Yep. 9:05 live. Yep. Change the time every day to show.
Man's man.
Man's man. Good to have you back, bro.
iTunes, thanks for
good to have you back.
No. And I thank you for everything you say. Wonderful. I appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
Remember, download iTunes, radio.com. Tune in the pod each and every day and give us a rating. Mikey B, Pete the Body, AB, fantastic as always. Check out the Taz Show. That's next.
Yeah, we're going to be live. Radio.com. Check it out.
CBS Sports Radio.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.